Morning, everyone. I want to begin with a quote. I don't think most Christians today understand how essential hospitality is to fanning the flames of love and strengthening the Christian family. Hospitality fleshes out love in uniquely personal and sacrificial ways. Through the ministry of hospitality, we share our most prized possessions. We share our family, home, finances, food, privacy, and time. Indeed, we share our very lives, so hospitality is always costly. Through the ministry of hospitality, we provide friendship, acceptance, fellowship, refreshment, comfort, and love in one of the richest ways possible for humans to understand. Unless we open the doors of our homes to one another, the reality of the local church as a close-knit family of loving brothers and sisters is only a theory. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning in prayer, and I just want to thank you for the church. I want to thank you for the family of God. I'm so grateful personally, Lord, that you have saved me, that you've adopted me into your family and given me so many brothers and sisters to enjoy this life with. That's a great blessing, and I just want to praise you for it now. As we consider these things this morning, God, please teach us, allow us to not only think of these things theologically, but to think of them practically, to think of how we might show your love to one another. Please bless us now as we look into your word and as we reflect on the gospel. Help us to see the true significance of these things in the way that we live, in the way that we use our time and our resources. And may we, because of the time spent together and because of the time spent around your word, may we become more like you. I ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Now, over the last few years, around the beginning of each summer, we take some time to consider some aspect of hospitality. We've seen that God is a God who delights in hospitality. He mingles hospitality in all of his major acts, in creation, in salvation, and also in the consummation. We've followed the theme of hospitality through the Old Testament, and we've seen that hospitality was a mark of the righteous in the Old Testament. We've seen that it was something that was often accompanied by blessing, and that those who didn't practice hospitality were often judged by the Lord. We've seen that hospitality was used by the early church to advance the gospel as they brought traveling preachers into their home and they took care of them and they would share the gospel, and also as they used their homes as a place to do the work of evangelism. We've even seen how hospitality touches on such things as the government of the church, the unity of the church, and the purity of the church. Hospitality it's really a huge biblical theme. This morning, what I want to do is to talk about the same theme, but on a very practical level. We've developed a pretty robust theology of hospitality. Now I just want to encourage the practice of hospitality. And the way that I want to do this is by connecting the dots from the gospel to the practice of hospitality. What is it about the gospel that would make us say, let's invite another brother and sister into our home? What is it about being saved that would make us say, I want to share my life with another person? So first, let's think about the gospel message itself. Let's see how the content of the gospel connects with the subject of hospitality. And I want to focus in on two aspects of the gospel: love and sacrifice. As you know, the gospel springs from the love of God. The gospel is an expression of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3:16 and 17. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. And so the good news of the gospel is that God demonstrates his love for sinners. Out of his great love, he sent his Son into the world to pay for our sins. Because he loves us, God acted on our behalf. The gospel is it's the ultimate display of God's love. When we hear the gospel, we get to hear this message about the greatness of God's love toward us. The gospel is also a message about sacrifice. Now, the New Testament uses an abundance of terms to describe the cross and what happened there. It uses an abundance of metaphors and pictures to explain to us what all happened at the cross. And so the language is very rich, but I want to focus in on just one of those words, and it's sacrifice. Consider these passages. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, Ephesians 5, 2. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, Hebrews 9, verse 26. The message of the gospel is that Jesus offered up his life to God for the sins of many. He died as a substitute for sinners. And we know that because of the resurrection of Jesus, that God accepted this sacrifice on our behalf. Now, those of us who believe in Jesus, raised from the dead, are forgiven. We're forgiven of our sins and we're restored back to God. The message of the gospel is a message about the sacrifice of Jesus. So what does the gospel, the message of God's love, this message about sacrifice, have to do with the subject of hospitality? And here we need to think practically. We need to realize that God expected the gospel to change us. He always intended that the content of the gospel would shape the way we lived after we received the gospel. The message of the gospel not only teaches us that God loves us, but it calls us to demonstrate love to others as well. Isn't that right? The gospel not only tells us that God loves us, but it calls us to love other people as well. The same thing can be said about sacrifice. The gospel not only teaches us that God was willing to send his Son to be sacrificed on our behalf, but it calls us to sacrifice for others as well. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're just going to read two verses. Verses 8 and 9. First Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Hospitality is one of the practical ways that we are called to demonstrate our love for others. Hospitality is a real-life way to sacrifice our time, our energy, our resources for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And this text even gives us direction on how we are supposed to practice hospitality. It's not to be done in a grudging kind of way with complaining. Instead, it's supposed to be done freely, willingly, with a desire to show the other person that you love them, you care about them, you want to be with them, you're happy that you're part of the family of God and you get to spend time with each other in fellowship. Okay, now I want to think about this from another angle. Same topic, different angle. So far, we've considered the content of the gospel. Now let's consider what happened to us when we believed the gospel. Now, again, there are, we could say all kinds of things. So many things happen to us when we believe the gospel, right? I mean, we were forgiven of our sins, and in God's court, we were declared not guilty, and we were justified before him. I want to concentrate in on one thing that happened, and it's the idea that we were brought into the family of God. When we were saved, God adopted us and brought us into his family. Consider these points. Think about the family language that describes the church. All the different language that relates to family as you consider the topic of the church. God is our Father who is in heaven. Jesus, we're told in Hebrews chapter 2, is not ashamed to call us brothers. In fact, if you were to crack open your Bible concordance and look up brothers and sisters, you would find that it's used in the New Testament over 250 times, and almost all of them have to do with the family of God. I mean, this is a theme that is just rich in the New Testament. Now, why did early Christians call each other brother and sister with such regularity? Why did they greet each other with such personal and warm terms, terminology that's normally only reserved for the closest of blood relationships? They addressed each other with the language of family because they wanted to verbalize their love for one another. They wanted to express to each other that they were a close-knit family, that they actually cared about one another, that they considered them family. Here's another thing to think about. Think of the many ways that the New Testament church functioned as a family. Consider how much of what they did actually looked like family caring for family. I'm going to give you a bunch of points. They greeted each other with a holy kiss. And that was a totally appropriate thing for people to do in the first century among family relationships. They would greet each other with a holy kiss. They cared for their widows. Why would they care for their widows? Because a family takes care of its mom when she's in need. The early church also shared their possessions. It was a common practice for people to sell their possessions to help those who were in need. Why? Because family takes care of family. Most of the early Christians, apart from the Jerusalem church, met exclusively in homes. I mean, they would gather in homes, and they would sit in couches and windowsills. And you remember Paul would preach too long, and one of them would fall asleep and fall out the window. I mean, they were just rubbing elbows, and they were next to each other, and they were close knit. Why would they meet in homes? They were families. It was a natural place for family to gather together. It was in a home. And then finally, they ate together. Jude calls their meals love feasts. When they ate together in their homes, it was a celebration of the love that they had for one another. The gospel had brought them together, and the divisions that existed within their society, all of that was broken down. The idea that, well, you're in this class, and I'm in this class, and you're of this nationality, and I'm of this nationality, all that stuff was broken down by the gospel, and they would just come together and share a common table because they were family. They were brothers and sisters, and none of that other stuff mattered in the church. So much of what the early church did looked like family being together, because that's exactly what it was. When we believe in the gospel, we are brought into the family of God. Now, I said at the beginning of this sermon that I wanted to connect the dots from the gospel to hospitality. We did that with the content of the gospel. The gospel is a care for one another, knowledge of one another, belonging together, and sharing life together. We cannot know or grow close to our brothers and sisters by meeting for an hour and 15 minutes a week with a large group in a sanctuary. The home is the ideal place in which to build relationships and closeness. In most instances, we hardly even know one another until we get together in one another's homes, eat together, and talk with one another across the table. You see, the early church understood these things, and that's why they met together so often, and that's why they ate together so often. Acts chapter 2. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So I'm sure you can see where I'm going with this sermon. I don't think the application will be any big mystery. I want to encourage all of you to have other believers in your homes. I want us to demonstrate the reality that we are a family in the same way that the early church did, by breaking bread together in our homes. I encourage you to show love and make sacrifices for other believers in a way that God has specifically commanded, hospitality. Let's look at one more passage. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, and we'll look at verse 13. Actually, if you look up at verse 9, you can see that the context here is love once again. Let love be genuine. Going down to verse 13, we're told how to show love in some respects. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Seek to show hospitality. Paul specifically tells us to seek after it. We're supposed to put some effort into this command. Practicing hospitality is something that we should do with zeal. And so I just want to close with this. Why does God command hospitality? Think about that for a second. Why? What does he intend to accomplish through us when we practice hospitality? What's his purpose in this? Does this matter? At least one of the things that God desires to accomplish through hospitality is this. He wants his people to know that they are loved by him and by others. In a very real and powerful way, hospitality communicates to us the love of God. You know, God often communicates his love to us through other people. For instance, you probably heard the gospel from another person. I mean, when that happened, God communicated his message of love to you through a flesh and blood person. Again, have you ever been in need and God provided through a person? When that person shares with you, what happens? You sense God's love for you. Again, have you ever had someone say something that was so timely, that was so helpful in your walk with the Lord? When that happens, you sense God's love for you. God is taking care of me. He's shepherding me. The same principle holds true with hospitality. It communicates his love in a deep and personal way, and that is encouraging, edifying, and sanctifying. The command to seek hospitality, I want you to know, it's not pointless. Hospitality really matters. May we be a church that demonstrates love in biblical ways. May we seek to show hospitality. Amen.